A shortage of skilled workers might be one of the long-term consequences of the pandemic.
Community colleges prepare so many people for so many jobs, whether it's welding or nursing programs or truck driver programs even.
Enrollment at community colleges is suffering, and that could hurt the economy. Plus, GM invests billions in electric vehicles.
EVs are still really very small, but they're expected to take off massively in the next years.
We'll look at what's driving the investment. And looking for holiday gift ideas, the WSJ has a list of suggestions, which includes toothpaste. It's Friday, November 20th. I'm Mark Stewart with The Wall Street Journal, and this is What's News. California Governor Gavin Newsom has issued a new stay-at-home order that will require the vast majority of residents to stay at home and businesses to close between 10 p.m. and 5 a.m. As we told you yesterday on the podcast, the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is urging people not to travel this Thanksgiving as coronavirus cases continue to surge. Last night, the White House Coronavirus Task Force held its first press briefing since July. The nation's top infectious disease expert, Dr. Anthony Fauci, warned that although a vaccine is on the way, people still need to wear masks and socially distance.
The cavalry is on the way. If you're fighting a battle and the cavalry is on the way, you don't stop shooting. You keep going until the cavalry gets here, and then you might even want to continue fighting.
Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin announced he's allowing several Federal Reserve emergency lending programs to expire, even as the central bank has said it wanted them to continue. Some of the programs have helped businesses and governments to access low-cost credit during the pandemic. Here's our chief economics correspondent, Nick Timiraos, on how Mnuchin explained his decision.
Mnuchin offered a couple of reasons. He said, one, they've worked so well, markets don't need them anymore. He also said he didn't think he had the legal authority to extend them. And that's something that the Federal Reserve doesn't agree with. The Fed thinks they do have the authority to extend them beyond December 31st. And they signaled that they didn't agree with the decision, which is an extremely unusual public split between the central bank and the Treasury.
This comes as President-elect Joe Biden said he's made his pick for a nominee to lead the Treasury Department. Speaking at a news conference, he said his choice will be made known just before or after Thanksgiving. We're exclusively reporting that the Trump administration is planning to introduce new rules to lower drug prices. The government is looking to reduce the rebates paid to middlemen while pegging the price of certain drugs to prices in other developed countries. That's according to a person familiar with the plans. The rules, part of President Trump's signature pledge to lower the cost of medicines, could take effect immediately after an announcement in the White House Rose Garden. Joe Biden is the first Democratic presidential candidate to win Georgia since 1992, according to an AP projection. The Georgia Secretary of State, who is required to certify the results by today, said Biden remained ahead after a hand recount of the state's 5 million votes. The Trump campaign criticized Georgia's counting process and said the state shouldn't certify its results. General Motors feels electric cars are the future, announcing it's upping its investment by more than a third to develop electric and driverless vehicles. For more on what's behind this move and the outlook for EVs in general, let's bring in markets columnist Rochelle Teplinski in London. Hi, Rochelle. Glad you're here.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So, Rochelle, you've spent a lot of time covering these innovations. What's behind GM's move? It's certainly attention-getting, but sales are still a very small percentage of the business.
Yeah, they are indeed. I mean, the CEO's growth strategy has really been underpinned by electric vehicles. In her 7 years at the head of GM, she's pulled it out of Europe and many other international markets and instead has focused capital on driverless cars, electric vehicles, and a few other technologies. And you're right, EVs are still really very small, but they're expected to take off massively in the next years. The technology's been on a fairly classic journey with costs coming down, particularly for batteries, and with people getting more comfortable with the idea of driving an electric car. And Tesla's really helped with this. But so too have a lot of government incentives and low emission targets, which has helped to push the adoption. And importantly, the costs of electric vehicles are really starting to come down and are expected to come down to parity with gasoline vehicles sometime this decade.
Rochelle, you mentioned Tesla, obviously a well-known figure in this arena. Is this marketplace getting crowded?
Well, you're right in that there are a lot of companies that are piling in. You know, we've seen Volkswagen and other big European car makers, as well as a lot of car makers in China, really, really ramping up their plans for models and for their rollout of it. But the market is expected to grow absolutely massively, particularly with all the EU and Chinese government incentives. They've got a ton of incentives and targets around electric vehicles to help decarbonize. And with the new US administration, there's an expectation to obviously rejoin the Paris Accord. And many people expect greener, sort of more electric vehicle friendly policies as well.
Rochelle Teplinski in London. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Mark. You too.
Just ahead, community colleges struggled during the pandemic. Eventually, that could impact the broader economy. We'll talk more after the break. When the economy hits a downturn, as we're seeing now, community colleges usually see a surge in enrollment. It makes a lot of sense. People who are out of work often want to learn new skills. But during the pandemic, that's not happening. In some places, enrollment is down significantly. Here to talk about why this is happening and what it could mean for the long-term health of the nation's economy is WSJ education reporter Melissa Korn. Melissa, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Let's start with the basics. How big of a dip in enrollment are we talking about and what's driving it?
Yeah, so overall, college enrollment is down a bit this year, but for community colleges, total student enrollment is down nearly 10% by the latest count, and enrollment by new students is down by about double that. And that is just a huge drop from what we've seen in the past. It's surprising in some ways that we're seeing this decline, because usually when the economy falters, out of work people flock to schools to retrain and upskill so they can get new jobs. But right now, because of the pandemic, a lot of them can't do that. They can't physically go to campus, and they're not equipped to take courses online, or the courses they want to take don't quite work as well online, or they can't afford the equipment. This is just a very different kind of emergency scenario than we've seen before when it's just an economic downturn. We've got economic downturn plus pandemic.
What about cost? What role is that playing in students' decisions?
So one of the fascinating things about community college is the costs. Yes, their tuition costs some money, but community college is the affordable option. And for many, federal grants like the Pell Grant covers tuition for community college classes. The costs come with all of the kind of surrounding expenses, childcare if you're taking classes, paying for gas to get to campus if you have in-person classes, paying for a laptop and high-speed internet access to take your courses online, supplies, registration fees, the income you're giving up by not working those hours that you're in school. Those are the costs that really are preventing some people from enrolling right now.
Now, what about from the school's perspective? This has got to be hurting them financially as well.
So one of the biggest concerns at community colleges right now is funding. They get money from tuition revenue. They also get money from the state. And most state funding calculations are done based on enrollment. Normally, in economic downturns, when state funding is tight, at least enrollment is high and they're getting tuition dollars. But right now, you've got low enrollment. State budgets are being slashed. So these schools are really facing longer-term financial pressure right now. You know, and if the money stays tight, they'll be cutting programs, which then makes people less interested in going to the school, which can hurt enrollment in the future, which can hurt state budget, and it becomes kind of a death spiral pretty quickly.
Melissa, let's step back and look at the big picture. Having a skilled workforce is crucial for the economy. What effect could this drop in enrollment have on employment and the economy as a whole?
Yeah, there's potential really widespread repercussions from this if these numbers remain depressed for the next few months, the next year even, and that's not out of the question. Some people say that we're not really going to see enrollment shift back up at community colleges until there's, you know, widespread vaccine and K through 12 schools are back in person. So many people do get their start at community colleges and then transfer to four-year schools. So we could see downturns in enrollment in the four-year schools where people are getting their baccalaureate degrees. So that's one kind of potential ripple effect in terms of just people pursuing even higher education. And then community colleges prepare so many people for so many jobs, whether it's welding or nursing programs or truck driver programs even. So if those people don't have the skills, when those companies do start to hire again, we're in real trouble across a lot of sectors.
All right, Melissa Korn, always good to hear from you. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
And finally, as we look toward the holidays, things are certainly going to be different this year. But the tradition of gift giving may still have a place in our pandemic world. If you're looking for some ideas, how about jasmine mint or licorice mint flavored toothpaste? Or bottle openers in the shape of a beagle or a Labrador's head. If you need more motivation, just go to the WSJ's Life and Art section. We have a number of gift guides, including one on food and drinks. It's all at WSJ.com. And that's what's news on this Friday. Before you start the weekend, a reminder, we'll be back tonight with a new podcast. I'm Mark Stewart with the Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.